Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Amanda. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo leads limited meeting on the development of waste-to-energy power plant. President Joko Widodo rejoices over the agreement of the Masela Block development. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a limited cabinet meeting on the progress of the waste-to-energy power plant development at the presidential office in Jakarta on Tuesday. When opening the meeting, which was also attended by regional leaders, President Joko Widodo reminded his administration that the development of waste-to-energy power plant is intended not to provide additional electricity supply, but to overcome domestic waste issue. In addition to reminding about the purpose of developing waste-to-energy power plant, the president also reminded his administration about Indonesia's marine debris issue, which has become a global concern.
Ini bukan urusan listriknya yang mau kita selesaikan.
The development of waste-to-energy power plant aims to overcome waste issue. It does not focus on supplying electricity. Therefore, we need to pay attention on resolving both land and marine pollution. Regarding marine pollution, Indonesia's marine debris issue has become a global concern. In fact, Indonesia is second biggest marine polluter in the world. President Joko Widodo signed the Presidential Regulation No. 35, Year 2019, on the accelerated development of waste-to-energy power plant based on environmentally friendly technology on April 12, 2018. The development of waste-to-energy power plant can reduce garbage volume significantly. Therefore, the government perceived that the development of waste-energy power plant needs to be accelerated in a number of provinces and cities across Indonesia. As many as 12 cities, including Jakarta, Bandung, Surabaya, Denpasar, Palembang, and Manado, have been selected to be the project models of waste-to-energy power plant development based on environmentally friendly technology. Indonesian President Joko Widodo rejoices over the deal on the Masela Glass Block development between the Indonesian government and the Japanese investor, or INPEX. It was remarked by Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Ignatius Jonan, after meeting with President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 16. Minister Jonan explained that documents of the agreement are submitted by head of the Special Gas Tax Force for Upstream Oil and Gas Business Activities, or SKK Migas, Dwi Sucipto, to the president. CEO of INPEX, Takayuki Ueda, also took part at the meeting. Dwi Sucipto told that President Joko Widodo truly appreciates the hard work and persistence of both parties so that the agreement could be realized. INPEX is committed to fulfilling its obligations based on the plan of development. He added that with the development of Masela Block on Tanimbar Islands in Maluku, Indonesia will bolster investments. Indonesian President Joko Widodo calls on Indonesian military and police cadets to safeguard Indonesia. It was remarked by President during the inauguration of the Indonesian Military and Police Cadets or Prasetya Perwira 2019 ceremony at the Merdeka Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo pointed out that the military and police cadets must preserve the spirit of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity in diversity, show tolerance towards other cultures, as well as maintain unity and integrity of the Indonesian nation. In addition to safeguarding the country, the president also reminded the military and police cadets to uphold the ethical codes of military and police cadets. President Joko Widodo also called on the cadets to have optimism, confidence, and persistence in undertaking their responsibilities. The Indonesian government will prioritize 5 regions across Indonesia for the development of waste-to-energy power plant in a bid to support waste management in the country. The 5 cities comprise Jakarta, Surabaya, Bekasi, Solo, and Denpasar. The cities will be the role models of the waste management project for other 7 regions in which the waste-to-energy power plant will also be established, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, after attending the limited cabinet meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon, said that the 5 cities previously proposed to be the models of waste-to-energy power plant project. Pramono Anung explained that President Joko Widodo signed the Presidential Regulation No. 35, Year 2018, about the accelerated development of waste-to-energy power plant based on environmentally friendly technology on April 12, 2018. Pramono pointed out that the Presidential Regulation serves as legal protection for regional governments to adopt measures and policy pertaining to waste management as well as waste-to-energy power plant development.
Persoalan yang ada selalu klasik yaitu persoalan tipping fee. Karena setiap daerah,
the common problem of waste management is tipping fee. Each region in Indonesia applies different tipping fee. For example, the tipping fee in East Java is only 150 rupiah. Whereas, based on the presidential regulation, the maximum tipping fee is 500 rupiah. The government has provided legal protection so that regional governments can take measures on waste management. However, they are still reluctant to adopt their own policy due to being afraid of dealing with legal issues. Therefore, President Joko Widodo would like to reinforce the legal protection on waste-to-energy power plant development through this meeting. We also hope that the waste-to-energy power plant development in the 5 regions can immediately finish so that the project can be implemented as well in the other 7 regions in accordance with the presidential regulation. When opening the limited cabinet meeting about the progress of waste-to-energy development, President Joko Widodo addressed the critical waste issue in Indonesia. On the occasion, he reminded his administration, including regional leaders who were present at the meeting, that the development of waste-to-energy power plant is aimed at overcoming waste issue instead of providing electricity supply for regions. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Tuesday said that abrasion, which hits a number of islands in Riau province, does not affect the width of Indonesia's border area with Malaysia. Minister Luhut held a coordinating meeting at his office in Jakarta on Tuesday in a bid to discuss the acceleration of coastal and marine management on several islands across Riau province, which share borders with Malaysia. Luhut explained that the Indonesian government attempts to overcome the abrasion issue. He pointed out that the government would revise regulations which are no longer relevant to current situation. 4 islands in Riau that share border with Singapore and Malaysia were hit by severe abrasion, namely Bengkalis, Batu Mandi, Rupat, and Rangsang Islands. The abrasion striking the 4 islands eroded half of their lands, which is a threat for Indonesia's border area. The Creative Economy Agency, or BECRAF, will collaborate with regional leaders for cooperation with regard to intellectual property, or IP. It was said by Deputy Marketing Head of Bekraf, Joshua Simanjuntak, in Jakarta on Tuesday. The move was modeled after the Japanese city government of Kumamoto, which owns Kumamon, the character of a black bear with red cheeks who become the city's mascot on the island of Kyushu. As quoted by Antara, the characters, which are the icons of the city, can provide an impetus to the regional income from the sale of shirts or other products that use the icon, according to him. In addition to working with local governments, Joshua added that he had compiled a cross-sectoral program, one of which was fashion. Streetwear trends, which use t-shirts and character designs, are also expected to be a part of the local IP creators. He pointed out that there are so many international products that want to partner with local IP because they think it is more relevant. Indonesia Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, hopes investments in Indonesia to be export-oriented and labor-intensive. It was remarked by Chairman of KADIN Indonesia, Rosan Perkasa Ruslani, in Jakarta on Tuesday. Rosa explained that labor-intensive investments would provide job opportunities, considering one of the government's concerns is creating job opportunities for the Indonesian people. In addition to creating prospective job opportunities, investments will also contribute to boosting Indonesia's economic growth, ranging from 30% to 35%. Rosan also called on related stakeholders to carry out reforms in various aspects related to stimulating investments, considering other regions and countries keep reforming their bureaucracy in terms of business permission, coordination, and taxation. Listener, that was the news.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of commentary for today's edition is New Steps of Iran Nuclear Diplomacy and Its Impact. Iran uses the nuclear issue in an effort to reduce pressure and sanctions from the United States. Tehran has threatened to reverse its nuclear program as before the 2015 nuclear agreement. The Iranian Atomic Energy Agency said it would reverse its nuclear program if the United States and its allies were unable to find a way out to reduce pressure and sanctions imposed by the United States. A spokesman for the Iranian Atomic Energy Agency, Behrouz Kamalvandi, as reported by the official Iranian news agency, or IRNA, expressed the threat in the hope of encouraging diplomatic efforts. Tehran sees the need for diplomatic measures to overcome tensions, in particular relations with the United States, to avoid economic sanctions. As is known, after last year President Donald Trump declared his exit from the 2015 nuclear agreement, Washington has imposed more severe sanctions on Iran. If the threat of the Iranian Atomic Agency is realized, then the country will gradually produce nuclear exceeding the minimum agreed on 4 years ago, which is above 300 kilograms of its uranium reserves. Iran's threat to return to nuclear production as it did before the 4-year agreement came as a Beijing statement condemned Washington's policies. In his diplomatic statement in Beijing, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Geng Shuang accused the United States of being the cause of the emergency of the Iranian threat. To reporters in Beijing on July 8, Geng Shuang said that Iran's nuclear crisis was caused by pressure by the United States. Although criticizing the United States, on the other hand, Beijing also regretted Tehran's decision to return to nuclear production before the 2015 agreement. China is one of the countries that signed the nuclear agreement carried out during the administration of Barack Obama. Iran's statement to no longer comply with the 2015 agreement was also addressed by European countries. Foreign ministers of European countries specifically discussed the crisis of Iran's nuclear agreement at their meeting in Brussels on July 15. The statement of the PRC government and the reaction of European countries shows that Tehran's move to play a nuclear issue to open diplomatic avenues has quite an impact. Although the United States itself has not shown any reactions towards this latest development. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia. Today in history, I'll begin with July the 17th, 2006. An earthquake measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale happened in the south of Java Sea, which caused a tsunami. An earthquake measuring 6.8 on the Richter scale off the coast of West Java occurred on July the 17th, 2006. The earthquake caused a 5-meter-high tsunami that destroyed homes on the southern coast of Java and caused at least 668 fatalities. The tsunami hit villages on the southern coast of Java in Sipatujah, Tasikmalaya, and Pangandaran, Ciamis. According to a spokesman for the Indonesian Ministry of Health, around 450 people were injured and 52,700 people lost their homes. 140 people were declared missing. Turning to July the 17th, 2009, bomb blast at the JW Marriott and Ritz-Carlton Hotels in Jakarta. The bomb blast at the JW Marriott and Ritz-Carlton Hotels in the Mega Kuningan area, South Jakarta, occurred at 7:47 to 7:57 West Indonesia time. The suicide bombing killed 9 people and injured more than 50 people, both Indonesians and foreigners from New Zealand, Australia, and the Netherlands. This incident occurred 9 days after the election of President and Vice President of Indonesia and 2 days before the planned arrival of the Manchester United football team at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, who will play a match with the Indonesian All-Star team on July the 20, 2009. The police managed to arrest or shoot dead suspects at the bombings, although there are still a number of fugitive actors. I'll end with July the 17th, 2014. Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was shot by Ukrainian missile and crashed in Donetsk, Ukraine. Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was a scheduled international passenger flight from Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur. The Boeing 777-200ER crashed in eastern Ukraine near the Russian border on July 17, 2014, with 283 passengers and 15 cabin crew from various countries. The aircraft was reported to have fallen 50 to 80 kilometers before entering Russian airspace. Reuters' initial report stated that the Ukrainian government suspected the aircraft had been shot down by a missile at an altitude of 10,000 meters. This is the second major incident for Malaysia Airlines and its 77 fleet in the last 5 months after Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 was lost in March 2014. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Di sini rumah kita yang terindah di dunia. Indonesia. selamanya.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia entitled ASEAN Members Jointly Promote Tourism. 10 ASEAN member countries joined in ASEAN National Tourism Organization, or ASEAN NTOs, agreed to implement 6 joint tourism promotion strategies. The agreement was made during the 50th ASEAN NTOs meeting in Siem Reap, Cambodia, last week. Press statement of Indonesian Tourism Ministry's Public Communication Bureau released on Sunday, July 14, mentioned that ASEAN NTOs agreed the 6 strategies to bring forward the tourism in Southeast Asia as ASEAN single destination. The agreement was included in ASEAN Tourism Marketing Strategy ATMS projects in 2019. This project was discussed in the 6th ASEAN Tourism Marketing Partnership Working Group ATMPWG meeting, led by Alex M. Makatuno from the Philippines as session leader and attended by NTO's delegates of 10 ASEAN countries. In the ATMS projects in 2019 was mentioned that 10 ASEAN countries agreed to carry out integrated marketing campaign with partners and online media or influential social media. Campaign in the influencer trip used slogan "When in Southeast Asia" or hashtag "When in SE Asia." To make the campaign successful, each ASEAN member countries proposed one province for two influential activity options. The criteria are close to main hub, only 2 to 3 hour trip by car or plane, and have star hotel facility as well as tourism attraction. Indonesian delegation led by Tourism Ministry's expert staff on economy and tourism area, Anang Sutono, proposed Riau Islands province. The proposal was made by considering the Riau Islands fulfill the criteria. In ATMS projects in 2019, using website revamp was also agreed. This online media is planned to use new design, while the proposed name is SEAsia.travel or visit SEAsia.travel. Besides that, the ATMS projects in 2019 also proposed ASEAN tourism digital platforms. In the 50th ASEAN NTOs, besides implementing the 6th ATMPWG meeting, there was also a meeting with ASEAN partner countries, namely Japan, South Korea, China, or plus 3, as well as India and Russia. There was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Akan ku dengarkan semua.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce you to the Wairinding Hill in East Nusa Tenggara. Indonesia is gifted with spectacular tourism potentials. East Nusa Tenggara has a hidden paradise which has not been acknowledged by both domestic and international tourists. It is called Wairinding Hill. The Wairinding Hill offers remarkable panorama of exotic savanna and enchanting karst hill. The Wairinding Hill is the right place for visitors who would like to search for tranquility, serenity, and natural beauty. The hill has been acknowledged by visitors since it became the shooting location of a movie entitled Pendekar Tongkat Emas or The Golden Cane Warrior, which is directed by Indonesian renowned movie director Mira Lesmana. The place indeed has picturesque hill landscape. Located at Pambota Jara, Pandawai sub-district, the trip to the destination takes approximately 30 minutes from the East Sumba city center. The hill looks breathtakingly amazing as it is surrounded by extensive savanna. The road condition to the Wairinding Hill has been good. It has been asphalted despite having winding fields. You will pass the Trans Sumba Waingapu Waikabukubak Road, which is famous for its later S track because of its twisted topography. It takes around 30 to 45 minutes to arrive at the location. From there, you still need to walk approximately 500 meters. Visitors do not need to pay entrance ticket. However, they are suggested to fill in the guest book and give voluntary donation to support the welfare of local people. It should be noted that there are no supporting facilities in this tourism location. There is only a small kiosk serving snacks and drinks, but there are not many selections available that you can choose. Therefore, visitors are recommended to bring their own foods, especially drinks, because the weather in East Sumba is really hot in the afternoon. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau catat keretaku tiba pukul 4 sore. Tak usah kau tanya, aku ceritakan nanti. Hei cantik, kemana saja? Tak ada berita, sedikit cerita. Tak ku baca lagi pesan di ujung. Jakarta muram kehilanganmu, terang lampu kota tak lagi sama. Sudah saatnya kau tengok puing yang tertinggi. kapan akan selalu berlari. Hingga kini masih selalu ku nanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Hey cantik, bawa aku jalan. Jalan kaki saja menyusuri kota. Ceritakan semua ceritamu padaku. Ya Jakarta, diam kehilanganmu. Bau wangi hujan tak lagi sama. Kau jemput musik yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan aku kan bernyanyi sendiri. Hingga kini masih selalu menanti-nanti. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Ingat waktu itu ku bertanya. Aku mau dengar jawabnya. Terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is cold medicine or obat flu. Next is a conversation between Joko and a pharmacist about cold medicine or obat flu. Joko is at a pharmacy to buy some medicines.
Ada obat flu?
Ada. Untuk anak-anak atau orang dewasa?
Untuk orang dewasa.
Perlu vitamin juga?
Enggak deh, makasih.
after the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Obat, obat, which means medicine. Obat flu, which means cold medicine. Untuk anak-anak, which means for kids or for children. Untuk orang dewasa, which means for adults. Perlu vitamin juga, which means do you also need vitamin? Tidak, makasih, which means no, thank you. In the conversation, the pharmacist asked Joko untuk anak-anak atau orang dewasa, which means for children or adults. And Joko answered untuk orang dewasa, which means for adults. If you want to buy medicines for children, you can say untuk anak-anak. The word anak-anak has two meanings. Let's follow the next examples. Anak-anak saya sedang sakit. Obat ini hanya untuk anak-anak, bukan untuk orang dewasa. The word anak-anak in the sentence. Anak-anak saya sedang sakit. Anak-anak sedang bermain di taman. Means plural. While the word anak-anak and the sentence, obat ini hanya untuk anak-anak. Masa anak-anak adalah masa yang indah. Means kids or underage. In the dialogue, Joko said makasih. The word makasih is non-standard form from the word terima kasih. In daily conversation, the word makasih is often used than the word terima kasih. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ada obat flu?
Ada. Untuk anak-anak atau orang dewasa?
Untuk orang dewasa.
Perlu vitamin juga?
Enggak deh, makasih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Mencoba mengerti ini.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Now I present a regional pop song to you entitled Tanah Wolio. The song Tanah Wolio comes from Southeast Sulawesi. The song was composed by Laude Imaduddin and the title was taken from the name of sub-district in Baobao City, Buton Island, called Wolio. Tanah Wolio is also a nickname of Buton Island. The song's lyric of Tanah Wolio tells about Wolio, a region which has prosperous natural wealth. The song also contains hope for prosperity by developing the potential of the area. Not only sung by the singer from Southeast Sulawesi, a group of Russian students also dedicated the song some time ago. Listener, let's listen to the song Tanah Wolio by Rosnah Joni. Enjoy the song.
Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter @voinindonesia, email voi@voinews.id.